Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
NBA free agency is in full swing. Grizzlies made some moves, some deals. Here to help us make some sense of everything is Radio.com Sports NBA Insider Ryan McDonough. Insider calls brought to you by Mercedes-Benz. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out how far an extra mile really goes. Let's make him the giant interview.
Now, it's the giant interview presented by A-Team Roofing. Online at ateamroofers.com. The A-Team Roofing Giant Interview on 92.9's Jason and John Show.
Ryan, what's going on, man? Appreciate the time.
Hey, Jason and John, always great to be on with you guys.
Yeah, so it was quite an interesting draft, quite an entertaining draft. Before we get into sort of the moves that the Grizzlies made specifically with their draft picks and then free agency, broadly, who were the winners and who were the losers of the draft in your eyes?
Yeah, going back to last Wednesday, guys, a few teams stood out. First and foremost was the Golden State Warriors, number two pick in the draft. They got James Wiseman, the big out of Memphis, who your listeners know very well. Might have been the most talented player in the entire draft. He's a 7-foot physical freak. And then I really like what they did in the second round as well. I thought getting a kid that I've watched here locally in Arizona, in Nico Mannion, the point guard who played at University of Arizona, played for a long time going back to his high school career. I was surprised he was still on the board at 48. So they stand out to me, and then also I really like what the Sacramento Kings did with the 12th pick, getting Tyrese Halliburton. He's a guy I had as a mid-lottery grade on my board, and I was very surprised he was still there with the 12th pick, and I think that was a great get for the Kings.
What about on the other side? Was there anybody's draft who you sort of looked at and scratched your head about?
Well, I think, you know, net-net, guys, what the Detroit Pistons have done is a little bit perplexing to me from an executive standpoint. You know, on draft night, they were very active adding and wheeling and dealing. And, you know, I thought looking at what they did on draft night, where they ended up with three of the top 19 picks, Killian Hayes, the point guard, played in France, Isaiah Stewart, the center from Washington, and Sadiq Bey, the wing from Villanova, I said, okay, you know, they're most likely to go through a full-blown youth movement to tear it down, to pick it in the upper lottery again next year. And then, you know, 2 days later in free agency, they ran out and signed a bunch of guys, including Jeremy Grant and Mason Plumlee, from the Denver Nuggets, and made some other moves. And they were waving and stretching players, which is not something that you usually do unless you're, you know, really going for it, like at a championship level. So I get that they were aggressive. There's a lot of activity in Detroit. But to me, what they did on draft night seems a little, you know, different than what they did when free agency he started 2 days later.
You know, RJ Hampton is a guy that we have gotten to know pretty well here in Memphis because of his workouts with Penny Hardaway and Mike Miller, and we've had him on the show. We know Rod Hampton very well. And this is a young man who was projected at one time before he went to Australia to be a top five pick, and he got selected obviously there in the mid-20s. Is that going to be a quote-unquote steal for the Denver Nuggets there with RJ Hampton just because of the talent?
I think it is. I think it has a good chance to be, not only because of the talent, but also because of the franchise that he got drafted to. Think of what the Denver Nuggets have done, guys, over the last 6 or 7 years, developing Nikola Jokic as a second-round pick into one of the best players in the entire league, a guy who was backing him up, or they couldn't play together, and Yusuf Nurkic went to Portland and has now blossomed in a Trailblazers uniform. Jamal Murray's become one of the best young guards in the league, and then, you know, in the last couple drafts, they added Michael Porter Jr. and Bol Bol. It's a great situation for players to develop. Michael Malone and his staff have done a terrific job of that. I had RJ Hampton rated a lot higher. I had him as a, you know, mid-first round grade, like in the teens somewhere. So I thought he was a steal for Denver at number 24. And as you guys know, where you get picked is somewhat important, especially from a financial standpoint. There is a sliding scale from a salary perspective in the first round. So I imagine RJ and his family were a little bit disappointed to be picked 24th, but I think in the long run he has a great chance to not only play well in Denver, but make a lot of money because of how he plays and how he develops on a very talented Nuggets roster.
I'm curious to get your opinion, Ryan, on what you thought about what the Bulls did taking Patrick Williams at number 4.
Yeah, that was surprising, guys. Mm-hmm. I think the way the top of the draft went was relatively predictable, even, you know, the couple days before the draft, or certainly on the day of the draft, that the top three would be Anthony Edwards, James Wiseman, and LaMelo Ball in that order. And then, you know, everything kind of broke down from there. Mm-hmm. So I understand that, you know, some people thought it was a reach. Frankly, guys, I had concerns and questions about, you know, just about everybody in this draft, including the top three picks. So I understood it from the Bulls' perspective that they need a wing. Patrick Williams is young, he's talented, he's 19 years old, he's got a great body, but he's raw. You know, there's a lot of talent to work with there, though. So to the extent that Arturis Karnišević is the new head of basketball in Chicago, and Billy Donovan, their head coach, obviously came from OKC but is new with the Bulls, I think they'll take the time and to be patient, develop a guy who's, you know, probably as talented as just about anybody in this year's draft. But to answer your question, it was a little bit surprising. Just I've been doing this a long time, yeah, to see a guy who never started a game and was the sixth man at Florida State to go on the top four. Anytime that happens, it's a little bit of a surprise.
What's going on in Charlotte, Ryan? Obviously, they add LaMelo, who we all think has got some star potential. You're putting that with Graham and with Terry Rozier. We'll see how that works. But then you go out and bring in Gordon Hayward, bringing in a little bit of free agency news into this. Can you see it? Can you see the pieces in Charlotte, or are you scratching your head just like we're doing here?
Well, here's the question, guys. As you guys know, in Memphis, you know, a smaller market, sometimes you need a bolt, you need a jolt or a boost, and that's what Charlotte did this offseason, first and foremost drafting LaMelo Ball with the third pick. I think he's the most talented player in this year's draft. He has some holes and flaws, especially on the defensive end, but there's a lot of talent, especially offensively, to work with there. And then, look, I think, you know, to the extent that think of what, you know, Ja Morant has done for your franchise there in your backyard in Memphis and revitalizing the team and giving them you know, a lot of juice and a lot of national attention. That is what I think and hope that those two guys, LaMelo Ball and Gordon Hayward, are going to do from Charlotte. This is a team that's been somewhat of an afterthought in the NBA recently, and they bring in the most electric playmaker in this year's draft and also a guy who, you know, is an all-star caliber player in Hayward. So it was a slight overpay for Hayward. I get that part of it. There are some injury concerns as well, but if you're in Charlotte and you're with a team that's been one worst for the past 5 or 10 years, if not longer than that, I feel like they needed to do something drastic. And in a smaller market, if that means slightly overpaying an elite free agent who you want, that's what they decided to do to get Gordon Hayward.
Yeah. We, of course, talking to Ryan McDonough, Radio.com Sports NBA Insider, here on the show. As the Grizzlies have sort of proven to be in this new front office, sort of, you know, the way they've kind of put together, they got busy. They got busy on draft night, did not stand pat there at 40. They moved up into the first round and selected Desmond Bain. Also got Xavier Tillman there in the second as well, and signed Killian Tilly to a two-way deal. What do you make of what the Grizzlies did on draft night, Ryan?
Yeah, so I think if you look at the roster, the biggest hole, you know, obviously the strengths start with Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. in the backcourt and frontcourt respectively, but, you know, still trying to address that wing position. I think that's going to be key for Memphis going forward. You know, Josh Jackson obviously left to go to Detroit in free agency, so they were looking for a wing, and I understand the deal. You know, the scouts I respect who really evaluate the draft and the players in it closely liked Desmond Bane. They liked his body. He's a four-year college player at TCU. He's strong. They like his shooting stroke. So he's one of the more ready-made guys, you know, in this year's draft. He's not a project, or, you know, he's somebody that can probably play minutes relatively early in his Grizzlies career. So, you know, to the extent there are concerns, I think, still about Justice Winslow and his health and when he will be healthy and if he'll be able to stay healthy, getting the best wing they could get by trading into the late first round and getting that pick from Boston, I thought was a good move. And then Tillman, another, you know, upperclassman at Michigan State, a big who can space the floor. So, you know, I think the pattern was clear from Memphis. As you guys know, they have a young roster. They have a lot of young players on the roster. But with the guys they drafted, they didn't want 19- and 20-year-old projects. They wanted more experience experienced, more proven college players, and that's what they got in Bain and Tillman.
Does it feel like the Lakers have upgraded here in free agency? It sure feels like it to me, Ryan. Wesley Matthews, we just saw the Gasol news, obviously. You got Dennis Schroeder coming over. And then you get Montrezl Harrell from over with the Clippers. I love what they've done so far. How about you?
Yeah, Lakers have done well. I mean, they were by far the best team in the Orlando bubble. They rolled through the Western Conference playoffs. They handled the Miami Heat relatively easily in the NBA Finals. Obviously, Miami had some injury issues with Goran Dragic and Bam Adebayo missing time. But the rich get richer. I mean, right? They loaded up. They did have some, you know, key departures. Danny Green, Dwight Howard, JaVale McGee, Rajon Rondo in particular. But net guys, I think they improved their team with the moves you mentioned, trading for Dennis Schroeder, who was my pick for Sixth Man of the Year. And then they signed the guy who actually won Sixth Man of the Year. Schroeder was the runner-up. Montrezl Harrell, they signed away across the hall. And that's one of the more surprising individual moves to me.
Yeah.
Guys, not that just that the Lakers were able to land Montrezl Harrell, but that the Clippers let him go. The Clippers have some financial constraints. Now, they did pivot and recovered nicely by signing Serge Ibaka, but there's a lot of short-term pressure on the L.A. Clippers in particular with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard potentially hitting free agency just a year from now, next offseason. So I was surprised they let Montrezl Harrell go, especially to sign with their crosstown rival, the L.A. Lakers.
Speaking of the Lakers, it looks as though they are going to add Marc Gasol, a former Memphis Grizzly that we know quite well here as a real staple of the franchise here. Can he help? I mean, how should we sort of look at this move by the Lakers?
Yeah, I have some concerns about Gasol at this point in his career, guys. I know how beloved he is there in Memphis, and rightfully so. I think if you combine his contributions in Europe, in the NBA, and with FIBA playing for Spain, he will be in the Hall of Fame someday, and I think he deserves that. But, you know, just watching him play in the playoffs, in particular against the Celtics in the Eastern Conference semifinals this past year, I thought he was a little bit exposed. He's in his mid-30s now. He doesn't move quite as well as he used to. So I understand why Toronto let him go, or, you know, they only wanted him at a certain level. The Raptors ended up replacing Gasol with Aaron Baines, who I thought played pretty well the last 2 years in Boston and then in Phoenix. So I know Mark's a big name. I get, you know, why he's so beloved there. But in my opinion, guys, it seems like he may have lost a step. So I don't anticipate that it'll have a huge impact for the Lakers, which is why I think, you know, first they signed Montrezl Harrell and then they view Mark maybe as a backup insurance. But which, as you guys know, if he's in that role or ends up being in the locker room mentor, limited minutes role, there's probably nobody better in the league than Marc Gasol
right
to do that.
It seems like that's where his real value will be. I'm with you, Ryan. He's lost a step. He's probably lost two steps. His value is going to be in that locker room. And like you said, it just feels like rich get richer from that standpoint. What about the Rockets? What do you do if you're Raphael Stone and you're going into this season, I guess, with two guys who don't want to be there? Maybe not. Maybe he can make a deal beforehand. But what's that going to look like by midseason this year? Will they both still be there? Will a move have been made? What do you think the Rockets do?
Yeah, so the Rockets have been a little bit confusing to me in terms of the direction over the last week or so, guys. Look, if their plan, which it seems like it is to keep James Harden, their superstar, and also Russell Westbrook, their second star, happy, I don't know why then, just before the draft, you'd trade Robert Covington to a conference rival,
right,
with the Portland Trail Blazers.
Right.
Yes, they got a first and a second round pick, and they took back Trevor Ariza, but, you know, Ariza's not nearly the same player that he once was, and he's not nearly the player that Covington is at this point in his career. So, if you're trying to upgrade your team, I'm not sure why you would do that. If your main goal, which is what I think it is and what it should be, is to keep James Harden and Russell Westbrook happy. So that had me scratching my head. I liked what they did in free agency a lot better by landing Christian Wood. I think he's a very talented young big. Didn't get a lot of national attention playing in Detroit last year, but he was very good for the Pistons, and he's a guy that every analytics guy in the league likes because of his statistical production. So I give him a good grade for Wood. The Covington move has me scratching my head, and, you know, is it enough to keep Harden and Westbrook happy? I personally have my doubts. I wouldn't be shocked to see those guys on the move elsewhere, but it seems like, at least at this point, Houston's planning on going into the season with them unless somebody blows them away with a godfather offer, in particular for their former MVP, James Harden.
The Clippers are being maligned today for the deal that they did for Marcus Morris, 4 years, $64 million, while his brother basically signs for the vet minimum there across town. People are saying that the Lakers are ruining the NBA with the sacrifices that all these players are willing to make to win championships. What do you think about the Marcus Morris deal? Is that one you're going to look back on in 4 years and say, huh, that was a good deal, or maybe a disaster?
Yeah, we had both of the Morris twins in Phoenix. It was certainly a bumpy road with those two when he had them both in a Suns uniform when I was GM of the team. I think, you know, the Clippers felt like they could not let their top free agents, we mentioned Jamichael Green going from the Clippers to the Lakers, they felt like they couldn't lose Marcus Morris. So I think, to some extent, the fact that Green left helped Morris, and the Clippers realized they had to do whatever it took to re-sign him. You know, one thing that I get it, most people don't fully understand, are the financial rules as far as re-signing players. Guys, the Clippers have a lot of big salaries led by their two max guys, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. They also have significant salary to Patrick Beverley and then a decent number on their books, you know, for Lou Williams and other guys, so Ivica Zubac. So they did not have a ton of financial flexibility. Let me simplify. If Marcus Morris walked out the door and signed with, for $14 to $16 million elsewhere, they could not then replace him with another free agent who cost $14 to $16 million. That's not an option. So, yeah, I think the Clippers felt like they've gone all in with this team, especially what they did with OKC last year to get Paul George, which helped them in turn get Kawhi Leonard. And they're going to keep pushing their chips into the middle of the table. Keep in mind, guys, Steve Ballmer is one of the wealthiest men in the entire world, not just one of the wealthiest owners in the NBA. So they're going to keep continuing to be aggressive, especially considering that Kawhi Leonard and Paul George can hit unrestricted free agency next offseason.
You mentioned Phoenix. How high up do they go, or can they go, Ryan, with Chris Paul there?
Yeah, I like their team. I mean, they've clearly upgraded their team. They sent out Ricky Rubio, Kelly Oubre, and a draft pick, and a few end-of-the-bench guys for Chris Paul, who was second-team All-NBA. And, you know, look, most valuable player is a subjective thing to some extent. Obviously, Giannis won the award last year and, you know, was deserving of it. But I don't think anybody was more valuable to their team last season than Chris Paul was to OKC, mm-hmm. what he did to that franchise, helping them, you know, carrying them to the playoffs and getting them in that 4-5 matchup versus Houston. Not a lot of people, myself included, anticipated that. So I like that move from Phoenix. They've continued to be aggressive and load up in free agency. They signed Jay Crowder earlier this morning. They agreed to re-sign Dario Saric. So they're going for it. I think they have a terrific chance to be a playoff team in the West, keeping in mind that, you know, OKC is depleted, and Houston, if they put Harden and Westbrook in play for trades or trade those guys, they won't be as good. And then with the injury to Klay Thompson, there's some questions about the Warriors' ability to get back in the playoffs. So the Suns have a great shot, but as you guys know, there are a lot of young, talented teams in the West, like the New Orleans Pelicans and like the Memphis Grizzlies in your backyard. So once again, it's going to be a bloodbath to get into the top eight in the Western Conference.
According to Brian Windhorst, confidence is gaining there in the Milwaukee front office that Giannis is going to sign that Supermax, $228 million. I mean, on one hand, I understand because it's just $228 million. But would it be wise for Giannis to lock himself in to Milwaukee? Because, I mean, listen, it can go the wrong way, certainly. Would you not want that flexibility if you're Giannis?
I would want it if I were Giannis or if I were advising Giannis. You know, look, and I worry as an executive, former executive for 15-plus years, about false expectations, guys. It was reported late Monday night, a week ago tonight, that the Milwaukee Bucks were going to get Jrue Holiday and Bogdan Bogdanovic. I put on my Twitter, at McDNBA, I have significant concerns about if the league is serious about tampering, how a player who's going to be a restricted free agent on Friday agrees to a sign and trade on Monday. Obviously, other teams in the league office had concerns about that with Bogdanovic as well, so that deal fell apart. And now if you look at, you know, what Milwaukee did besides Jrue Holiday, which was a very aggressive package they gave New Orleans with a bunch of draft picks and pick swaps in addition to Eric Bledsoe and George Hill, you know, the rest of it net-net, DJ Augustine, Torrey Craig, Bryn Forbes, and Bobby Portis, that is okay, but if I'm Giannis or his agent, that is not, you know, something I'm running out to grab a pen and sign the contract at the first possible moment. I'm not super excited about that, and personally, I would rather play out the year and see how it goes. But as you guys know, it's always easier to tell somebody else what to do, especially when there's close to $230 million guaranteed sitting on the table.
And then lastly, before we get you out of here, Ryan, we appreciate your time as always. The development timeline for the Memphis Grizzlies, I think, is going to look really jagged and weird because they were a playoff team for the majority of the season last year. Obviously, they lose the play-in to the Portland Trailblazers in the bubble. And I think there is the expectation, given all the activity in the West, the Warriors are going to come back into the mix. You certainly would believe the Suns are next up, it feels like. there is an expectation sort of that the Grizzlies take a step back, that they're not the sort of contender to make the playoffs that they were last year, and that, you know, they may be a couple of years off. How would you sort of assess the Grizzlies right now, and do you share that opinion that there will be a step back? And if there is one, how big does it have to be?
Well, I think there certainly could be a step back, guys, with the way the other teams in the Western Conference have loaded up. Keep in mind, the two worst teams in the West last year in 14th place was the Golden State Warriors. The injury to Klay Thompson obviously hurts, but they'll get Steph Curry back, and they just added Kelly Oubre and paid an insane amount of money between the contract and luxury tax to do that. And then in the last place team, the Minnesota Timberwolves, they're trying to load up too. They made some aggressive moves, you know, recently bringing in Ed Davis, re-signing Malik Beasley and Juancho Hernangómez, trading for Ricky Rubio. So I bring it up because there's not a bad team in the Western Conference. And I say that, you know, all due respect to the bottom teams in the East, I could pick out four or five that I don't think are going to be very good. I look at all 15 in the Western Conference, and I think they're talented. So I think for Memphis, guys, it'll really come down to the health in particular of Jaren Jackson Jr. and Justice Winslow. Those guys are healthy and can play well. They have a chance to be in the playoff mix. Keep in mind this year, guys, you don't have to be in the top eight to get in the playoffs. You just have to be in the top 10 to trigger the play-in scenario with the position the Grizz were in a year ago. So I think if those guys are healthy, they should certainly have a chance to get in the top 10. But again, it's not going to be easy in a loaded Western Conference.
Ryan, you're the best in the business,
man. Love your stuff,
man. Thanks for the time,
Ryan.
As always.
Hey, always great to be on with you, Jason and John. Talk to you guys soon.
Yep. Here's Ryan McDonough, radio.com, NBA Insider. Insider calls brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.